Ms. Smith, are we okay to start?
You can go ahead and start.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the April 8th, 2024 meeting of the University City City Council to order. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay. Councilmember Klein.
Here.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Fuller.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Crowe.
Here. Well, before you have the agenda, I think there was some discussion earlier, some possible changes to the agenda. Are there changes to the agenda for this evening? Mr. Clay.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Crowe. I wanted to move item, please, moved away from me, item K2 from the consent agenda and move that to the city manager's report for discussion.
All right. Any other changes? Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. I wanted to actually split item L2 and actually split those two so that then I would rather have a separate discussion about E327. If that's
L2 is just the two.
Yes,
we can talk about that when the time comes. So that's
okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. So there's a motion to move item K2 down to L3. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Hearing that, all those in favor of the amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Now before you, an amended agenda. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Hale, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. There are no proclamations. Please note that we have before us the February 25th, 2023 special Saturday work session minutes that were not presented previously. So we apologize for that inconvenience. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. McMahon, seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there a discussion? Oh, sorry, Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. Mr. Rose, just a quick question about that. Is there a way that we can get an update? Because this was a February 25th, 2023 special study session. In reference to some of the work plans, like economic development, is there a way that we can get an update on some of the progress made about that plan then, and get an update on those, if that's a way to do it?
Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, my intention is to schedule an all-day work session with you probably in June timeframe. Or that will go through all of the projects and what the status is at that time.
Thank you.
There's a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion? Discussion?
Minor discussion. I will abstain because there's not this many.
Thank you. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Yeah, before the March 25th, 2024 study session. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Ms. Klein, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a discussion? Mr. McMahon.
I'll abstain on E2 and 3 as well.
Thank you. Anything else? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. You have before you March 25th, 2024. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Clay. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no appointments. Kevin Taylor was sworn to the Traffic Commission on April the 3rd in the clerk's office. We are now here for our first round of citizen participation. If you've just come in, there are sign-up sheets over by the door that you would please fill out. Each citizen is asked to give their name and address and limit their remarks to 5 minutes. If it's on a non-agenda item, you will be called at this time. If it's on an agenda item, you will be called at the time of the agenda. First person who has requested to speak this evening is Mr. Tom Sullivan.
Tom Sullivan, 751 Syracuse. Anyone looking through the minutes of the February 25th, 2023 special council meeting might wonder just what is going on in the city. With so many things going in different directions, it's hard to figure. This is on top of the We Make You City group, which is an outgrowth of University City Community Vision 2040. A lot of planning and discussions, but little being accomplished. I would suggest an emphasis on more basic matters. Streetlight situation has improved, but there are still a handful of streetlights that are out. Street sweeping situation has not improved. Since so many are unaware of the sweetened days, and since time started 8 a.m. when many have not left for work or school, it means the streets are not being swept very well. It seems some council members also think the loop is not being kept very clean. The landscaping to the entrance to the number 4 parking lot is still a mess, as is the side of the parking lot that faces Kingsland. There used to be four nice bushes along the side, but no more. The Kingsland median from Delmar to Vernon continues to also be a mess. There's another crop of weeds coming in on the south end. Last year, one grew to 52 inches. This is taller than the bushes or trees at the other end near Vernon, most of which seem to have died. The county is repaving Kingsland this year, but I doubt they are much interested in taking care of the median. A little effort on the part of the city would go a long way, but should be a showcase, looks pretty bad. By the way, the county council just approved the repaving of Vernon. It is now 18 months after Costco has opened, and I don't know of a single project that's been done to revitalize the Third Ward, as promised. The Third Ward Revitalization Committee seems to have joined city government that keeps going around the block but isn't accomplishing anything. It's surveys and meetings, followed by more surveys and more meetings. And then there is the ongoing fiasco with the municipal complex. Plans seem to continually change. Council chambers were supposedly to move to the old library. Then it was said a decision had not been made. I think most university city residents would oppose this, but it seems a lot of discussions are being done in secret and excluding citizens, the same as with the Costco development. This explains why 58% of voters oppose Proposition F. They don't trust university city government. Thank you for listening to my comments.
Our next request to speak is Gregory Pace.
Gregory Pace, 7171 Westmoreland Avenue. Okay, I'm speaking about the funding plan for the annex and the old library renovations. Recently, Steve Kraft and Shelley Welsh and I pinned an email to council, to the city attorney and the city manager. And I'll reread that right now to have it in the record. We are aware that University City Council is considering funding the renovation of the annex and the old library with $27 million of certificate of participation bonds. This email is not an opinion about the proposal, it's strictly about the process. We believe that a citizen vote is required before you proceed with any lease of the above properties. Section 97 of the city charter is quite clear on that point. City staff has clearly stated that COPs definitely involve leasing the property, and COP documents confirm that the transaction involves a lease. Article 12, Section 122 describes the required vote for any lease. We are asking, when do you plan to schedule the required vote? Now, to carry on a little bit, some here may not be familiar with Section 97, that was Proposition H, which was passed, and I'm guessing that almost everyone, if not everyone on the dais, was behind Proposition H. And it clearly states that buildings that are of the heritage and are delineated and they include the annex and the old library cannot be sold or leased or given away or otherwise disposed without a vote of the folks. It's us. Just a moment on COPs. If you Google the COP, certificate of participation, typically what it says in the world is that the idea is that you're going to finance a facility that generates revenue, like a ball field, a swimming pool, a hockey rink, and that revenue stream generated by that facility will be used to pay back the bonds of principal and interest. Well, somewhere along the line, it's been a long time, some clever lawyers, John, decided that you don't need a revenue stream to use COPs and bypass the state constitution, which severely limits borrowing without a vote. And that's what has happened. Recently, the library used COPs for their renovation. Interestingly enough, the lease was not the facility, but it was the HVAC equipment. And then they claimed in the lease document that the HVAC equipment was personal property. Well, I don't know, I looked San Luis County personal property, and that's not considered personal property in HVAC. They claimed it wasn't part of the building, which any self-respecting engineer, civil engineer, architect, builder will tell you that HVAC equipment is part of the building. It's not personal property. It's not plugged in where you can roll it out. Anyway, that's a stretch that's too far for me to go. And in fact, in at least the library sign, they state that the fair use revenue that you need for the HVAC equipment is equal to the entire amount of the principal and interest payments on the entire renovation, which of course is patently false. The fair market value of the HVAC equipment in the library is far less. And in fact, the fair market value means you've got to pull it out, clean it up to sell it. So it's used equipment. A lot of people out there really want to buy used HVAC equipment. So the market value is really close to nothing, but that's not what the lease says. And the library board agreed to that statement. So, and one last note is that the certificates of participation are paid for out of the general fund and the other funds. In the last two fiscal years, the budget, the general fund, capital improvement fund, public safety fund, and parks and stormwater fund were all deficit funds for 24 and 23. So if they're eating into the fund balances, where is this money going to come from to pay this COPs off? We need those monies for other things, like sidewalks, streets, curbs, parks. That's what people want. I assume employees still want to get raised. So I would say this should be put to the people for a vote. If they're for this, fine. I don't know. Then, you know, but we get a bond issue and then a bond levy, which pays for it. All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes our citizen participation this evening. Are there any council comments at this juncture of the agenda? Hearing none, we have a public hearing on the agenda for Patrick House axe throwing. I will open that hearing at 6:47 p.m. Madam Clerk, did we have any written comments provided to us prior to noon on today?
There were none.
Thank you very much. Has anyone signed up to speak on this agenda item this evening?
There are none tonight.
Thank you very much for hearing that. This public hearing will be closed at 6:47 p.m. You have before you now the amended consent agenda as items 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Mr. McMahon, seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rhodes.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, this first item, I'd like to, as you have moved it from the consent agenda of K2 to the City Manager's Report, this is an item asked that you consider a funding request permitting software update for MyGov version 5. And I would ask Dr. Wagner to present this item.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Good evening, Council and Mayor. There were a couple questions on MICA 5. Did you address them or did you?
Mr. Clay.
Thank you, Mayor Crook. Thank you, Dr. Wagner. I just had a couple of general questions. First of all, kind of in layman's terms, can you just speak to the enhancements that we see in version 5 versus version 34? I'll start with that question, then I'll follow up.
Okay, happy to. Version 5, it really is an entirely new operating system. So it's not just like we'll be able to continue like we do in version 4. There's training. It's a totally different version, which is good in a lot of ways. It provides for a digital plan review, which MIGA 4 does not have. Online permitting, which we well, we have online permitting now, but that's more or less just a PDF email to us. So online permitting, really filling out the form online and having it go that way. A better request tracker, component so people can log in and say, well, the grass here is too high, and then it'll tell us if there's other people that have had issues with that same address, that sort of thing. So it really is a lot more, I'm looking for the right word, updated, fancy, I guess would be a good way to put it. Also, it does have a GIS component as well, which I think this part's going to be really neat. So you're going to be able to go in and say you can look at a certain segment of the city, not necessarily a ward, but 10 square blocks, whatever you want. And what are the building permits in that area? What are the nuisance violations in that particular area? And you can be able to, and you guys will be able to do that as well, as council members, and look at certain parts of the city and what permits are going on there and what's the department doing in that area.
Okay. And so, in summary, and I'm going to take it from the resident perspective, mm-hmm. what they can see from this is improved and a true online permit,
correct.
Not like a PDF,
yeah.
You know, back and forth.
Correct.
A request tracker, I think you mentioned something else.
Digital plan review?
Digital plan review.
Correct.
Okay. So, in a practical sense, I want to put a deck on my house. Mm-hmm. Can more of that process now be handled through some of these improvements online?
Yes.
Folks don't have to come in, folks don't, okay.
Correct,
yes.
They can send the plans in, attach the plans. They can receive them, review them. Inspector goes out and does what he needs to do. Yes, it's much more streamlined, much more user-friendly by the fact that they can stay at home and do most of the stuff.
Thank you.
And there also is another one. Micro 5 has actually been around for like 3 or 4 years. I thought it was relatively new, and I guess that is relatively new in some of this terminology. And they're building it out so there really is no need for a Micro 6. And Micro 4 wasn't like that. It was kind of kept off, and it was just the way it was. And they really haven't been putting a tremendous number of resources into Micro 4. Micro 5, they're going to be doing constant updates to it, so there is no need for a Micro 6 at some point down the road.
I will ask you one more question about training. I know that can be a challenge in an environment, which is not just impacting city and university, city with an employment environment, such that it's more turnover. Mm-hmm. Will we have an in-house expert, if you will, a training trainer
yes.
kind of model, so we'll have that, or do we have to keep going back?
No, we're going to make sure that now we're going to make sure we have a project. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, go ahead.
We're going to make sure we have a project manager in house, and they'll be able to be the expert on it. And so when someone new starts, we'll be able to train them as they go on, as opposed to going to MyGov and paying X number of $100 for whatever that training is.
Okay, that's what we're trying to do. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions on this matter? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the funding request for software for MyGov version 5? Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Clay, seconded by Ms. Klein. Is there discussion? Hearing that, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Thank you.
Honorable Mayor and council members, this next item I ask just to provide you with a couple of quick updates. The first item is that a little bit more than a week from today, we will receive construction bids for the police annex and court Trinity buildings. That will be on April the 16th. We anticipate, based upon the demolition bids that were received on March the 26th, so we're looking forward to favorable bids. I did also want to share that the design for the courtroom in the Trinity building has not changed. It was always intended to be a multi-purpose building. The decision about whether the council chambers would actually relocate to that multi-purpose facility has not been made at this point. My final update is I wanted to share that the last tax that went before a vote of the people here was not Proposition F, it was actually Proposition M, which passed several votes. That concludes my update. I'll respond to any questions that you have.
Any questions of the city manager? Hearing none, Mr. Rose.
Hello, Mayor and Council Members. This next item asks that you receive a brief presentation regarding the facade improvement applications that were received and provide direction regarding those applications. I'm recommending approval of this item. Ms. Smith will be presenting this item. Ms. Smith?
Honorable Mayor and members of the City Council, these were two applications that were submitted under the fiscal year 23 round of facade improvement. We tabled these two as the properties were vacant at the time and there was some hesitation on funding the properties because they were vacant. We actually sent our policy back to EDRST to be reevaluated to determine whether or not we should even fund vacant properties, which they did agree to continue funding, but that they would be considered on a case-by-case basis. However, that point has become moot as these properties are have both had leases executed on them. So 8327 Olive had a lease executed on March 14th of this year, and we have a copy of that lease on file. And then the property 73012 Lane had a lease executed, I believe it was March of last year, actually. So they actually did have, I think, the lease at the time, and I think maybe we thought the building was vacant. I can't remember. I just know they were tabled.
We were talking about an apartment at the time.
Oh, it was mixed use. And so that matter was actually considered by the EDRST, too, and they agreed to continue funding commercial properties that are also residential, maybe at a reduced rate, though. And so they would receive $10,000 instead of $15,000. So since those matters were resolved, these applicants are still interested in applying for the funding, and so tonight I'm asking that you all reconsider and approve them for funding under fiscal year 2030.
I believe there were questions possibly on these two. I think probably part of our questions were just the information in the back that was probably a little bit dated versus the update you just gave us. I know my colleagues well on this one, but are there additional questions of Ms. Smith on these items? Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Specifically, 8327 Olive, and you're stating that there's a lease now on March 14th, and that's March 14th of 2024?
Correct.
Why was that not included in this application on this form?
The landlord shared a copy of the lease. I wasn't sure about sharing it as it wasn't making it a public document, basically, if that makes sense.
We've not shared the leases publicly. But I think Wayne's question is yes. The information we have is from 2022, and in the packet, there's nothing that updated us. Everything we're getting updated on is orally by you, but not in the packet that we have before us.
Correct, and I do apologize for that.
Just very quickly, and I thank you, Mayor, for clarifying, and that's exactly what I'm saying. What we're looking at, and I really want you to understand that I want to take this serious because this is $15,000 that we're getting, and I am a grant awardee multiple times. And so I understand this process. But when I'm looking at this, you're telling me this is actually exactly the same thing that was presented to us in 23. Building is vacant. And so again, I do understand and I appreciate you giving me information about that. But this should have been updated, is what I'm actually saying. That should have been updated. I don't need to necessarily know any specific things about the business. I just need to know that there is a business. And the other part about it is that what I don't appreciate, and I'll simply say that, is the lack of any motion, because this building, to this day, still looks like this. And I do understand, March 14th, this was done. So it would be interesting to me to see what changes would happen. So you're literally basically waiting on us to approve this so that they will take action on the bill. Is that correct? You're waiting for us to approve this before they take action on this bill.
I can't speak to whether that's what the owner is waiting on, but I am simply processing my equipment application. I'm not sure what the owner is waiting on. I can't answer that question.
Okay, so then what happens if we say no?
Then they are denied funding, and that would be, the owner still has a responsibility to take care of his property. They just would not receive our half of the funding to do so.
Okay, and again, and I'm only using this as an example, and again, I just didn't like the way this was presented, but one of the things that I saw in that when what's the name of the, is it Fulon, that actually moved to the 8600 block, or 80, not 86, 8500 block of power, Fulon's. And when that owner, when they moved in, they made the changes, they actually opened up, and you could see that they were doing business. Then they came back to us and asked for a facade improvement to update the signs. Again, I'm interested in seeing one of the frustrations that I have, because I've been here so long and watched these properties, is that nothing has been done at all to that building. And that building to this day still sits with these boards up. And so that's what's frustrating to me. But now, okay, so I'm really wondering what's going to happen. Is something going to happen because we approve this? Because again, what happens if we don't? And I know you don't have the answer, so.
Well, my opinion, Ms. Smith, am I right, though, that any funds that we would give her only after the project is, they've got to show us receipts for what they've done.
Correct. It's a matching program, so right. They would be investing $15,000 and we would invest $15,000. They would pay for the entire project up front, and then we would reimburse upon receipt of the getting the receipts and proof of payment.
Correct. So there is no cash outlay once the project gets done.
Correct. And if the funds are denied, if the council should vote, then the condition of the building becomes a matter for code enforcement. It no longer falls under economic development for me. So it becomes a code enforcement matter. And I don't know if the owner is simply waiting on the incentive. I'm processing the application.
I understand.
And well, the last question, Mayor, I'm sorry, and I'll let Jeff have this. Were there any other applications?
So we have our fiscal year 24 applications. However, we're still doing our due diligence with those. So those will be coming to you all for in May. These were two applications from last year's round of funding that this council voted to table. And so this is me circling back to close the matter out one way or another.
Thank you.
Mr. Clay.
Go ahead. Just one quick question on the olive. Is there anything that you can share publicly about the nature of the new business?
An esthetician, I guess, like a beauty beauty supply, or not supply, but maybe a beautician.
Okay, thank you. And then on the Tulane property, you mentioned the DRST was considering a mixed use, doing less than 15, like 10,000.
Yes.
This application says it's a total of 30,000, so 15 per. So is the Tulane for the full 15?
So I put 15 because I was under the impression that we tabled this due to the building being vacant. Councilmember Fuller mentioned that it was because the upstairs was residential. That is when I recall that we actually had two issues, the vacant properties and mixed use, that EDRST made amendments to the policy, which we did bring back to the council after they did that. This is just a month ago. So for mixed use, they did recommend funding at $10,000, so I would ask to amend that, to reduce that to $25,000.
Okay,
so $10,000
for
two.
$15,000 for all of the $10,000.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I don't think there's a motion on the floor in any way, but okay. Mr. Clay.
Well, thank you, Mayor Crowe. When the EDRST updated its policy to reflect that they would look at vacancies on a case-by-case, was there any conversation about the circumstances in which they can properly could come forward?
Yes, they did not see a reason to stop funding vacant properties, as their position was that even if the property is vacant, if you improve the facade, that improves the overall area. They did say that if it had, they would want to see that they intend to occupy the property fairly quickly. And again, that issue with Olive became moot because they currently have a lease that was executed in March.
Okay, understood. I mean, I share my council colleagues' concern about this particular property. It has been idle for so long, but it seems as though they are doing the right thing. So that is positive.
Mr. Smotherson.
I really hate to have to comment on this, but I wish they could stop using that as a reason. Meaning that if it's going to make the surrounding buildings or surrounding areas better, it's not. Olive is different. Those buildings are not contiguous. They're not connected. And so this building improvement is not going to improve Lamb's Garden that's next door. It's not going to improve the cleaner warehouse that's next door. It's not going to make that improvement. It changes absolutely nothing on the area. Again, as I use an example, that white beauty supply store across the street in the 8300 block of Olive is beautiful. It's white. It changes nothing in back of it, in front of it, on the side of it. So again, I'm going to say this because of my frustration. Stop using, not you specifically, I'm sorry. But that's not a reason. Olive doesn't work that way. It doesn't change anything in that regard. And we have to stop using that excuse because it doesn't change the surrounding buildings.
Well, I guess I would have to take a little bit of issue with that. And I think it always gives us an opportunity to invest in our community and the business. And I think particularly in this environment where we're trying to attract businesses and move the community forward, I tend to think that we need to invest in our community. I recognize 100% that Olive is different than Del Mar or North and South and pick your streets. But for us to say that we're not going to invest in the community in that way, I think that would be a challenge for us. I think particularly when we even have the city of St. Louis wanting to give incentives for people to come downtown that are quite striking incentives if they go through, probably puts pressure on us, not just on Olive, but on Del Mar as well. If there's a better way to do this, I can assure you that the EDRST board is more than willing to listen because they recognize their volunteers as well, and they spend time on this, and it has to come back to the council. So if there's a better way to do it, I think that's fine. But I would disagree that we're not doing anything, that this is not making any change whatsoever. It's not a broad stroke. It is not a broad stroke. But I do believe we're doing something. Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mayor. I tend to lean towards the EDRST when they're saying that vacant properties need to be upkept, and if we can help, that will help the community as well. Because theoretically, this building is still vacant. The tenant hasn't moved in, am I right?
Correct.
So it's still a vacant building. Theoretically, if that's our policy that we're just not going to do with the vacant buildings, then we'd have to say we have to wait till they move in. We might have to look at the lease to see if this was a lease. What's the connection between the property owner and the purported tenant? Is there anything that would say after they do this and accomplish it and they get to 15, they terminate the lease? And have they paid any rent? I mean, it gets into a whole deep dive into what it means to, if the lease is enough to not be vacant. But at the same time, if our policy decision is to say, let's improve the area so that we can have vacant buildings, even if they're vacant, at least they're being kept up to a certain standard. And if this helps us, that I think meets that policy consideration.
And I have had residents tell me they are happy to see the new improvements on Olive. It might be a specific building here, it might be a specific building there, but they're happy to see it, and they're hoping it's contagious down Olive. Other people may not have heard that, but I've had specific residents tell me they were happy to see, for example, the gas station. It sat there ugly, and just no one wanted it. I would never pull in there to get gas, but now I would. That's one building that gives somebody the belief that there is things on the upswing. So I think if we can, it depends on what our overall policy is. If the answer is no to any vacant building, are we turning our back on improving vacant buildings, at least keeping them to a certain level of standard, and just saying, well, let it rot? What's the incentive to the owner? That's how I do it.
Mr. Smutherson.
And I do appreciate that, especially Councilman McMahon, and I do appreciate that. And he did give a great example, that gas station, and he did that. He did that on his own, absolutely, and it was great, and it does look wonderful, because before it wasn't. And again, all I'm saying is that the owners need to be more responsible for their buildings. That's really all that I'm actually saying, is that these owners need to be more responsible. Because there are cases that they have done absolutely nothing to improve those buildings for decades, for years. And that's the only thing. I would love to give incentive to businesses coming in and moving in and doing something with those businesses. But it's actually the owners. Remember, we just had the one with the Twisted Cafe that actually the owner won't let them do anything to the outside of that building. They refuse to allow them to even take advantage of the facade improvement. And it's not the businesses that I'm frustrated with. It's the owners of these properties that literally have been sitting doing absolutely nothing for decades and for years. And that's my frustration.
If there are no other comments, I believe that the motion before us, as I understood it, was for 8327 Olive to have $15,000 and 7301 Tulane to have $10,000 based on the ERC information, am I correct?
Yes.
Is there a motion to that effect from any member of the council to move this matter forward? To move the ERC, yeah. Mr. Hales, is there a second by Ms. Klein? Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Split the House. Please call the roll.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Fuller?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
I need clarity. When you say split the House,
we need to count the vote. We roll call vote.
Okay. Nay.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Councilmember Klein?
Aye.
Mayor Crow?
Aye. The audio was different, and I apologize. I think that's all for my correct. Is that all for the city manager's report?
Yeah, that's correct.
We have before you resolution number 2024-04, fiscal year 2023 budget amendment number one. As we move through, is there first a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. McMahon. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion, or Ms. Rose, would you like to, does anyone need to speak on this?
Mr. Cole, do you have any comments to make on this item? We're responding to any questions I can have.
Are there any questions regarding resolution 2024-04? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no bills to introduce, we have no old business. Any other council comment, any other reports from members of council to the commissioners for which they're responsible? Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Mr. Rose, I just wanted to thank you for the update on the parking lot. And I just wanted to make sure that some of my colleagues are aware. I asked about removing the dirt pile. I'm not sure what that is that sits right next to the basketball court, because that dirt pile has been taking up the parking lot, that's actually the parking lot of Heman Park. And so I asked the question and got a report back that they will be moving that soon, and I think that that's going to be ongoing until they get it leveled out. And we can actually then use the entire parking lot that we have at Heman Park, which I think is a good thing, especially since that we have June concerts coming up, and we've got the summer coming up, and people are utilizing that area, and that restricting the parking the way it has been for the past almost 2 years has been a little frustrating in how that's happened. But thank you. And hopefully we can get that, use the full capacity of parking in that section. Thank you.
Any other member of council? I believe, Mr. Clay.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Mayor Crowe. Two quick things. First of all, everyone got to an opportunity to get out to see the eclipse with the Patriot Island Air Force. The second thing is, today on PWMU St. Louis on the Air, in addition to the eclipse coverage that they had, Chancellor Andrew Martin of Washington University was a guest and remarked on WashU's new, I'm just going to call it community engagement initiative, I think it has a specific name. And in that, it was a briefer interview, but he articulated outreach to neighbors several times. And I would humbly request that the city manager and mayor perhaps take Chancellor Martin up on his outreach to his neighbors. And perhaps he was willing to become personally engaged in conversations that we are having about the relationship between University City and Washington University. And I believe it's, you can go to the KWMU website, or STL PR, I believe is the website, and hear the Chancellor for yourself articulating WashU's commitment to community engagement, community support, and again, outreach to its neighbors.
Thank you. This was not necessarily council comments. This was for reports from people.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm assuming we have no citizen requests to speak.
My apologies.
So let's continue then with the council comments. Mr. Hales.
Thank you. Actually, I was waiting for this to get the same report, so that's fine. I appreciate Councilmember Clay. Just to follow up, the radio show is available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, so that can be downloaded. It was nice to hear that. I think it would be terrific to have the Chancellor and others from WashU speak to the public both here, but I would also encourage the city manager that perhaps the city can help them connect through perhaps a series of events at the Heman Park Community Center to give them the opportunity to interact with our community that they asked for today. Separately, I had the opportunity to participate at the U Heights Flood Task Force. I think that was maybe Tuesday of last week. All my days were running together. MSD was there. I asked a question that I believe I asked in these chambers and at a prior task force presentation last July, and that was of the CEO, how many combined sewer overflows and storm sanitary overflows do they have currently flowing into river repair within the University City. I was wondering if the city manager has heard from them with that information.
Public Works Director Darren Gerber, any information on that? Have you received any? Would you come to the podium, please? Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you all. Not yet. I have not. I will reach out again tomorrow and re-request that information. They did that. They did acknowledge that they owed us the information.
Okay.
As soon as I get that, I'll get to the city manager.
I know that this was at least the second, and maybe the third time I've asked for the same information, but that's MSD. So that concludes my comments. Thank you.
Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to say congratulations to all those that ran and were elected to council, including Mr. Cheeman. But more importantly, I wanted to take the opportunity because I believe the certified results will come in, and we are holding the 16th as the swearing-in day, if I'm correct, Ms. Reese?
17th.
And I may or may not be able to attend depending upon my recovery. And so I wanted to say it's been an honor to serve with Alita Klein. We will miss Alita. She brought her own unique perspective, saw us through many difficult issues. She was a great colleague to work with, and I will miss her on council.
Thank you.
Alita, the rest of us, I believe, will look forward to seeing you next week when we have our meeting. We hope that Steve is there with us as well. Any other comments from members of council? Hearing that, I would request a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri by Statute 610.021, legal actions, causes of action, litigation involving public governmental body, and any confidential or privileged communication between the public governmental body or its representatives or attorneys. Is there such a motion? Motion made by Mr. Fuller, seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Hearing that, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Klein.
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon.
Aye.
Councilmember Hales.
Aye.
Councilmember Fuller.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Aye.
Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Mayor Crow.
Aye. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.
That's a pretty smart.